This is the Limbed Opic Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Limbed Opic Show here on today's News Talk, TNT. 4 hours of news and comment, facts, as best we can establish them, and opinions, but we separate the two because your only duty is to think for yourself. If you don't want to think for yourself, you're in the wrong place. Go for the old legacy media. Thanks very much. But if you are interested in getting some truth and having the information to draw your own conclusions, you're in exactly the right place. And coming up next, we have a fantastic guest from across the pond, from the United States, where I was indeed broadcasting last weekend. We'll talk about that a little bit. It's Ed Martin. He's going to join me. He's from the Republican side of life. We'll be talking about a number of things, the Donald Trump campaign, the Israel Iran situation as well, and then also aspects about what he's been working on in terms of freedom. He's involved in a fascinating organization there, which he will describe in his own words in just a minute. Before we go on, though, as always, let me just try and catch up with some of the comments that you've been making. You have been very active today at tntradio.live. Remember, tntradio.live. Get involved in the chat. I can't read all of it. Seb says, the vast majority can see how they are being abused and won't even speak, never mind act. The same who sacrificed their own children and grandchildren to poisonous injections on the altar of nothing more noble than the convenience of going out for a pint, a Big Mac, or taking a flight to the Costa Brava. So I know you're talking about the, what I believe now to be the scam of the vaccination agenda, one which gave me a continuing problem with my health from the third jab, which I bitterly regret. Yes, I took three jabs. I know it was dumb, but I didn't know at the time. So that's a good comment. We'll probably find out what Ed thinks about that. Shorty222 says, sorry, but music interlude is annoying on TNT. Have to turn it right down. More news would be better. Shorty, I hear what you're saying, but it's not my editorial gift. I've read it out. I know management's listening, so I just leave it out there. I'll probably get wrong for that myself now, but there we go. That's the beauty of free speech. Wee Fat Chug says, sadly, I have to agree, they can't be turned. They're just human drones. The ones I keep insisting are the ones that keep the liars in power and the rest of us shackled with the fruits of their collective ignorance. Now, it could be that people feel that way in American politics too. We shall find out shortly. Just a couple more. Blodders saying chatters were constantly complaining about the news. PSA includes, what is TNT doing a better Muzak? Okay, well, Blodders, I can't go any further with the musical debate. Basically, just play prog rock all the time and some Fairport Convention, and I'll be happy. But then you probably won't be happy because you won't like Fairport Convention. Maybe you don't even know what it is. It's an age thing. And Chris says parents are being sued later by their children. That's an interesting point. Is that what's going to happen with vaccine injuries if it turns out there are long-term problems? All of that and everything else, you can have your say at tntradio.live. Just go to the chat, and apologies if I haven't read your points out there. You can also phone in. You'll find the phone numbers at tntradio.live. And have your say. We're just over halfway through today on what is Sunday if you're in the United Kingdom, and it's Sunday morning if you're in the United States. Now, I was in the States last weekend. I went to the total solar eclipse in Dallas, but I also did a bit of a fly around. I went to a symposium, space symposium in Colorado Springs. My conclusion was that the attitude of the general public could be quite different to what you see on the news. It might be different to what you see from the, what you might call the mainstream commentators. What is going on there? Who is going to win the presidential election? We're going to have all of that conversation together with the unavoidable elephant in the room, which is the situation in the Middle East, where we've got Iran for the first time ever as an Islamic Republic in attacking Israel. Israel apparently planning a response, so we don't know what's going to happen, unless, of course, it's happened since we started broadcasting today. A dangerous and volatile situation. Where will that head? Well, I'm glad to say we've got someone who can comment on any and all of that. It's Ed Martin, who has got a wonderful pedigree for being on the show. He's with me on the Limbed Opic Show right here on TNT.
Be a part of the conversation.
I want representation I can trust.
Have your say.
Biden isn't doing enough.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome, Ed Martin, to my show. Thanks very much for coming on, and good morning to you.
That's good. Hey, yeah, thank you. Good morning over here in America. Thank you. Great to be with you. And I appreciate very much the chance to talk, especially talk at length. I enjoy being on TNT, a number of other programs that just get into things and not have to talk in 3 minute sound bites. So great to be with you.
I love doing this show because we can really dig deep and give people the best chance to have their best say. And that's exactly why you're here. Aside from the fact I'm kind of all loved up about America at the moment. Now, before everybody puts it in the chat, that means I'm a terrible person and I want to invade and conquer France and Afghanistan. I like the people. I was in Dallas for the total eclipse. Where are you in? Where are you in the U.S.?
Well, you know, I'm from Missouri, in the center of the country, the very center. You sometimes see the arch, the famous arch that was put right down on the waterfront on the Mississippi River. I lived there for about 24 years, but just about 3 or 4 years ago, during the Trump administration, I moved to Virginia. So I'm out. I'm adjacent to the swamp. I'm not of the swamp. I'm in the swamp a lot, but I'm not of the swamp. But you know, I wish. Look, we could talk about this for a dozen hours. I wish it was different. I really do. But the center of the whole world is Washington, D.C. That's a terrible thing for the world, but it is just true. The whole thing moves through this swamp. And so I'm out here and I'm in the middle of it. And I have to say, there's a lot of action and a lot of things going on. And a lot of the worst things in the history of the world are happening in this swamp. But here we are.
Did you see the eclipse?
I did. Yeah. In fact, Missouri, 5 or 6 years ago, when the last eclipse happened, a big one, it was the actual center about 20 miles from where I lived. So we sat on our back deck with my children. I have 4 children and saw it. And here we did the same thing with 3 of our 4 children. Our one is off to university, but it wasn't quite as dramatic as what we all remembered from Missouri. But yeah, we did. It was really extraordinary. And my mother-in-law is a science teacher, and she says every time this happens, it's such a great thing because it makes so many of these of we dumb people stop and do something scientific and actually talk about it. And you're right. It was extraordinary to see, and really, again, wonderful that so many people were talking about it. All the teachers in school and even at our church, the pastor was talking on Sunday about getting ready the next day. So, yeah, it was exciting.
It was strange things. All the birds land. All the bugs go to sleep for a few minutes.
Yeah. Yeah,
the wind stopped as well, though we had the mother of all thunderstorms in Dallas. Who knew? Everybody in Dallas, apart from me, knew that I was going to fly through thunderstorms to Colorado Springs. That was an interesting experience. Now, there's another partial eclipse going on in Washington, and that's the strange case of Joe Biden. Before we go into that, though, you're involved in a very interesting education-based organization. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, in America, we have a tradition, and Europeans and you know, you will recognize they say NGOs, non-governmental organizations. In America, starting about 60, 70 years ago, we had these nonprofits come up. And the founder of my organization is a woman named Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis Schlafly was actually a star of a movie that Kate Blanchett was in, Mrs. America, and some folks saw it over in the UK and in Europe. And Phyllis, who's now deceased, was a housewife, and she was a lot more. She was smarter than that, and she was more focused. But she started out her career talking about the communist threat in post-World War II America. She was a 25-year-old housewife. And then over the course of the next 50 years, she got fully immersed in politics, and she really founded in America the pro-family movement that, as you mentioned, focused on education and advocacy. She beat back the attempt to change our Constitution to include what's called the Equal Rights Amendment, which, best way to describe it, it was feminism and DEI on steroids in 1972 or 3, and she fought it off against all the powers that be in both parties. You talk about the American political scene, and we were talking about Republican or Democrat, and you and I offline, you know, both parties are very corrupt. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. But Phyllis, her decision was one party could be better, and that was the Republican Party, and she worked to change that. She was very close to Reagan. She was very close to the conservatives in the movement, and she picked Donald Trump as a candidate in 2015, ahead of almost everybody else. And she had this reputation. I was working for her at the time. She had this reputation as being this great social conservative, this iconic leader, and nobody could believe that, again, you and I talking offline, that she picked this guy that looked more like a libertarian. You know, he's not a classic conservative. And she said, it's first of all, she said he could win, which is a part of the game. You got to understand, you got to win. You can wish you could elect your pastor if you could get the votes, but you can't. So you got to win. And then she thought, believed it. He understood sovereignty and the question of America. So she backed him early. We wrote a book that went to the New York Times bestseller list, and he ended up winning. And so I still run today her organization, which is called Eagle Forum. Now we name it after her. We call it Phyllis Schlafly's Eagles. And across the country, we have a network of people who understand how politics works and are conservative. So you can't take every fight because you got to win a lot. You got to keep making progress. And if that sounds like a sellout to people, that's people that haven't been elected to office like you have. You know, you got to hold your principles. You can't betray yourself or your team, but you got to understand that there's a game going on, and you better play that game at a high level to succeed. And Phyllis was really good at that, and we continue that work today.
You said one thing which will annoy some people. You said she's a housewife, but she was smarter than that. My mum was a smart housewife. How dare you, Ed?
Exactly. Well done. Well caught. I'll be canceled another time. Yeah. No. And what I mean by that is she got sick of she. She was a young woman. She was testing ballistics during World War II while going to school at night, because going to school during the day, because she had no money. Her family had no money. And she became this leader, and she spoke all over the world, and she got sick of being asked, are you a lawyer? So in her 50s, she went back to law school and graduated number two in her class at a big time law school, just so she could stop having to answer these idiots that said, oh, well, you're testifying before Congress. Are you a lawyer? Oh, you're not a lawyer. So our moms and our homemakers are smarter, as you and I know, times 10 than most of us that think we got an education. And she was amazing.
Good recovery, Ed. I'll take that.
Exactly.
We'll talk about the content, and we'll talk about the world situation and the Republican situation just after the break. But what does the Eagle Forum do?
Well, you know, we have a handful of priorities, and the priorities are the pro-life movement, which is obviously going through a lot here in this country, protecting the family. But then the ones that really are in play today is national sovereignty. We've been ahead of the arguments on the border and on what immigration should look like. We've been doing that for about 25 years. And then one of the main things we've done, again, for about 50 years, because the communist movement is what started it, was we've been articulating the problem of these multinational organizations, whether you take the WTO or the WHO, whether you take the UN or the EU, the problem of these International Criminal Court, which was one of the things Phyllis focused on. And I'll give you one quick example. People don't even know. America's patent system, the legal system that started from the very beginning, the head of our patent office, the first head was Thomas Jefferson. And so when you go forward into time, our patent system, which said you don't have to wait for the king or the government to give you the property that you invented, you get it, and then they get to use it after a certain amount of time. That system, Phyllis, about 25 years ago, our organization started defending, because not only are the Chinese stealing our intellectual property, which is a problem of a patent system, but big tech in America 20 years ago was stomping all over inventors and gaming the system. And of course, that guy that will go down in history infamously, Obama, he got into office, and people think, oh, you know, he was for the little guy. He immediately caved over and let the patent system be taken over by big tech in a way that is recognizable to politicians and policy guys. He created this extra layer of bureaucracy where big tech could dominate it. It's these PTAB boards, special boards that could be populated by their people and then stomp on the little guy. Anyway, my point is our issues are a range of issues, but one thing that we always do, we know politics. And so in the last 6 years, we have been trying to elect a guy like Trump and then get Trump in office to live up to what he said he was going to do. And because that's where the major fight that we see is going on. We have arguments in our states, in every state from Texas, as you mentioned, to Missouri, where I'm from. And we lead in those places. But primarily in the last 5 years, we've been saying, maybe 7 years, really, we've been saying, how do we get this swamp drained, and how do we change the direction there?
That's draining the swamp will cause subsidence to your old house, but maybe maybe that minor earthquake is necessary in American politics. We'll come back to you in just a moment. I want to talk specifically about your Republican leanings and the very interesting prospects for Donald Trump in just a moment. If you've got calls or comments, go to tntradio.live. I'll try and read some of your comments out to Ed Martin. I'm Len Potopic. This is the Len Potopic Show right here on today's News Talk TNT. I'll see you in a moment.
Sonia Poulton.
Since 2018, I have been documenting and making a documentary about the issue of transgenderism. And because the fact is, when I happened upon it around 2016, 2017, I literally could not believe what I was being told that I must believe. And that is, first and foremost, that there is some sort of anomaly of nature that enables some people to be born in the wrong body. Of that, straight off the bat, did not make any sense to me whatsoever. And then I could clearly see what was happening, that men were going into women's spaces and taking over women's spaces, such as sport, in all manner of places, in politics. And it really alarmed me, but nothing alarmed me so much as what was happening to children.
Sonia Poulton on today's News Talk, TNT.
In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
Plug in.
Website
TNTradio.live.
Check it out.
Today's News Talk Radio.
It's the coolest.
TNT.
Welcome back to the Len Potopic Show here on today's News Talk TNT. We have the effervescent Ed Martin from across the pond, who has got clearly a very strong coffee. He is energized and ready for action just as well, because we're going to ask the questions that you'll want me to ask about Donald Trump. Before we go there, Shorty222 says, I've been to McDonald's on the Mississippi steamer next to the Robert E. Lee.
Yeah,
near
that's
the
right.
St. Louis Catenary Arch.
Happy yeah, time. That's right.
Is that true?
Right.
Is Shorty too telling the truth there?
No, yeah. In fact, the only problem for Shorty is that they closed it down on the Mississippi River. And for your viewers and listeners, the Mississippi River, just up the river from St. Louis, is Hannibal, Missouri, which is where Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, and of course Mark Twain, aka Samuel Clemens, his real name, he was born and raised. You can go to Hannibal; it's extraordinary. You can see the homes and all where Sam Clemens, Mark Twain, was raised. You come down the river to St. Louis, and down on the arc. There's this arch on the river. There's this incredible river. And then there was a McDonald's forever. There was also the Robert E. Lee, which was a paddle boat ship that went out. And then in America's failure of progress, they put in a gambling boat, an actual gambling boat, because the laws of America allowed you to gamble on the water, but not on the land. This is about 40 years ago. And so the boat used to go off and you gamble for an hour and a half and then come back. And when the boat docked, you had to stop gambling. And we're really gambling. So that's exactly right. There was a McDonald's down there. It's not there anymore.
I'm really impressed with your local knowledge. The home of Tom Sawyer, I presume that the fences were always well painted.
That's right. Exactly. That's exactly right. Exactly right.
And just in terms of the music, Wee Fat Chuck says, it's been a long time since I listened to Fairport Convention. Yeah, but there we are. Loved Richard Thompson's work. Yeah. And one last, Seb says, fancy going all the way to the Mississippi and only coming home with a McDonald's napkin. All right. I think there's probably more to it than that. I've come back with very happy memories of Dallas. First time I visited there. My father worked in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. He was a nuclear physicist, and Oak Ridge is where they used to refine the uranium for the atomic bombs. He never told me what he did, but I didn't have to be a genius to work out he wasn't there as a teacher. And then I worked in a big multinational company in Cincinnati. So, but yeah, got quite a long experience of America.
Yeah.
I'd love to come back to Capitol Hill. It's a place which has a real dynamism. It's a really, really a place really in the center of things. And at the moment, it's at the center of what's looking like clearly a two-horse race between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. I don't have to be a genius. Can you just explain what you meant by DEI earlier on?
Yeah. Thank you. I sometimes you slip into lingo. So in America, our kind of social, cultural, Marxist movement created and you know, you and I could talk later about how the left did this in environmentalism. They created all these kind of language that they could hang their hat on and then go and, you know, we're going to study, you know, global warming. Well, what the hell is global warming? They don't really know. They can't tell you. But DEI is called diversity, equality, and inclusion. And what happened in America was they used to shake down our corporations with black pastors like Jesse Jackson. They used to come in and say, if you don't give us money, we're going to say you're racist. This is 40 years ago. And so they pay them off. They would just pay them off to stop. And then, well, then they realize, let's create a whole system. DEI, every major university, every major corporation had to create an office called DEI, Diversity, Equality, Inclusion. And it's just a place to hire people to, you know, the phrase we use is DEI, didn't earn it. Because anybody who's in DEI actually didn't do anything to create value, it's a game that's meant to be sort of virtue signaling. And so the great thing is in America in the last about five, maybe 3 years, we've broken out of this and we're basically saying, if you're doing DEI, we know you're a huckster. You know, we know you're selling something and making money for yourself. And so, like, for example, a university like Harvard has 100 people working in the DEI office. What they're doing, other than congratulating each other on semen, they're all minorities. They're all, you know, these things. So it's a problem that's gone on, but it's breaking back against them. And that's a big thing that we all are, you know, DEI is racism. It's institutional racism and nobody should want racism. So thankfully we're on the side of stopping racism in the form of this institutional shakedown that's been going on.
An organizational equivalent in the United Kingdom is CSR, corporate social responsibility.
Right,
which
exactly.
Essentially
that's
means
right. That's
wrecking
right.
Your business in the name of net zero.
Exactly, that's right. That's right. Exactly, that's exactly it. Yeah, well, and Orwell would be happy to come back and see how you take these language things and you browbeat everyone into thinking, well, I just would better go along with that. I mean, I don't want to, you know, I Vala Kabbal in 1979 in The Power of the Powerlessness, an essay that I always look at and go back to, that was when you had to put a sign up that said the workers of the world unite. It was a code that meant nothing except it meant the signal that you were going to do, and it meant you had to change your behavior in favor of something that was less fulfilling and less of a success than it would be. Anyway, we're off topic.
And this leads us very well into what could be the ideological debate of the decade. It is, in fact, really Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. And it seems to me that against all odds, as far as Donald Trump's detractors are concerned, he's level pegging or actually ahead of Joe Biden. Now, Joe Biden, we see, he's the guy who said that poor kids can do just as well as white kids. But apparently,
yeah.
When I was in America, not many people had heard that. Though yeah. He did definitely say it. I've listened to it often. And Trump is the guy who says, I give myself an A+, which is clearly ironic. It's clear yeah. that he's got quite a sense of humor, but he's also very confident. Yeah. What is the secret of Donald Trump's apparent success in the polls when he's facing almost 100 felony charges and spends half his time being reported for the trials?
Well, you know, I'm so surprised that we didn't talk about this before. I wrote an essay recently, which I'll send to you, and it's called Trump's Secret Sauce. And I actually go through what I believe is his secret. And his secret is that starting in America in the 1950s, and Trump was a young boy, and he was taken to church by his father every Sunday. People don't even have a hard time believing this. Every Sunday, Donald Trump was taken to church by his father, and he sat through the homilies at a Presbyterian Christian church in Manhattan, in New York City, of a pastor named Norman Vincent Peale. Norman Vincent Peale was this famous, he wasn't one of these self-help gurus, although he's the most famous one of those. He wrote the power of positive thinking is his book, famous book. But he's very Christian. And when you look at what Trump does, Trump has this sort of American confidence that will just work it all out. That no matter, I've been with Trump when he meets somebody. For example, one of the families of January 6th prisoners. I'm a lawyer. I represent some of the January 6th people that have been put in prison. And one of the families, there's three boys, and the boys are like 17 years old, 16, 15 years old, and 12 years old, and they're devastated. Their dad's in jail, and he's going to be in jail for a few more years. And Trump looks at them and he says to them, He says to them over and over in a 5-minute conversation, it's going to be all right. You're going to be all right. It's going to work out. You'll see. And he's got this sense of confidence that pushes forward, that no matter what you're going through, you can make it better. And that's how Americans feel in the past and want to feel about what's going on. So, you know, whether it's the lawfare, what he's done is exposed the real corruptness in America of some of our institutions. The media has been so obviously corrupted. You and I talked about science. You know, the corruption of the environmental hoaxes, the corruption of the COVID hoaxes, and then, of course, the politics. You know, Joe Biden is the emblem of, you don't have to believe that he took bribes when I say Joe Biden is the emblem of corruption. The model that you have a 50-year career as a U.S. senator and everyone around you gets fabulously wealthy, that's a corrupt system. And then Trump is on the other side, hustling and shucking and jiving, trying to make billions and making billions. And so the contrast couldn't be more dramatic. And then I'm sorry to rant, but the number one thing people in this nation feel is we feel that the system that put all of our money and our men into wars is a corrupt system, and we're sick of it. We want America to be strong. We want to have a military that's the strongest in the world. But we know we sent trillions to Iraq for lies, not one lie, multiple lies. We know that the Ukraine war is lies, and we feel it. And they say, oh no, just shut up. We're going to send $60 billion more. And we're saying, wait a second. We don't want to leave anybody. We're not the ones that sit by and let them slaughter people. We're not that. We understand we have to have a role, but we don't want to be lied to. And so you see it over and over again right now in this country. And you ask about how the politics is changing. More Americans that have not cared about Trump are looking up and they're saying inflation is real and these messy wars are real and we want this to stop. And by the way, number one thing Trump honed in on, we could talk for hours, is that inflation, the number one thing that fixes inflation is stop regulating true energy. Get the hell out of the way and take every bit you can get, whether it's oil, gas, nuclear, take it all, get your energy costs low, and you can ship stuff from the heartland to the coasts. You can import stuff from all over the world, and you can sell the hell out of our oil and gas. And so Americans are ready. You know, we're sick of the electric car. You know, in Pennsylvania last night, he was talking. He said, everybody want an electric car. Soon you're going to all have to own an electric car. And the people go crazy because they know it's just a game. And it's a game that's been rigged by people with money and power. And we're sick of it.
There's a line, Hemingway. I once again can't check if Hemingway's right or not, but let me read it to you because I like this, Ed. Hemingway says, when asked by a group of first-time voters whether it was hard being a president, Donald Trump opened up, not for me, because I'm really smart, tremendously smart. People just bring me their problems and I just solve them right away. Boom. Taken care of. No more problems. That's why I'm the greatest president ever. I love it.
No. Look, but I mean, but what he plays a role, right? He is a master at playing a role. Look, in America, we stole from England The Apprentice, right? And when it came to, I know you know it well, when it came to America, I was a CNN contributor for about a year. I got fired because of the crazy black ladies on CNN that demanded I be fired because I didn't take their nonsense. And literally, that happened. It's another story. But I met Jeff Zucker. Jeff Zucker was running CNN, and he's the guy that brought The Apprentice to NBC. And Trump was the guy that he hired. And I said to him, what was it like to have Trump at The Apprentice? Now, first, Jeff Zucker, who's about this tall and is full of himself also, just like Trump. And Zucker says, all Trump cares about is impressing me. And I was like, okay, you all are lunatics. But then I said, what was it like to work with him? And he said, Trump was obsessed with being number one. And when he got to be number one, he was obsessed with staying number one. Now, every rich guy who thinks he's clever wants to be a TV star, and none of them succeed. And yet Trump did in America for over a decade. And when you watch what he did, to your point, he got really good at figuring out how to make things happen. And that's like anything else, ride a bike, swing a baseball bat, you know, do TV or radio. You get better and better when you do it a lot. And Trump's been doing it his whole life. And I think he's really actually good at it. Look, we Americans believe Iran wouldn't be bombing Israel if Trump was president. That feels completely true because you know what? He put a tweet out that said, "Don't even try it, you bastards. We'll come for you like you've never seen." And they were like, "Oh, maybe he means it. Maybe he doesn't. Who knows?" And so I think he's really and people that know him. I mentioned off air that one of my good friends is on his campaign team at the highest level, and he sees him all the time. Off the outside thing, he's very, very different. And no surprise, he's a very good listener because he's always taking in what's going on. And he's a very astute assessor of what's going on and what's true and what's not. And he's bold. I mean, he's not without self-confidence. At the level we're talking about, everybody from Hillary to Trump, these are not people that are normal, right? You don't get that level by being normal. You're if you like them, they say extraordinary. If you don't like them, you say abnormal. But either one is the right answer.
What I remember from Trump's early years on The Apprentice, there was this guy who completely messed up the project, but he'd gone about it the right way. He just got the wrong result, and he gave that man the victory. He said, "You got it all wrong, but you had the right strategy." Getting the execution wrong is less serious than getting the strategy right. And I just remember thinking, I'm impressed with you because, number one, he's a very good communicator. That's obvious. But number two, he also seemed to be quite a good judge. And the way people run him down, this begins to seem like an election convention for Donald Trump. But I don't mind if people think that, because my opinion is, what you get with him is you get this positive motivation. You've got this energy. And the way people run him down for being a billionaire, he is a billionaire. He's failed a number of times, but he's done it. It's like Elon Musk. Elon Musk has clearly done something right. When I watch Joe Biden, I see a career politician. I was an MP for 13 years in the UK. And I go back in there, nice people, but they're stuck because they're just in career politics. And they didn't go into politics to achieve a result. They got into politics to be politician. Right. And some of my commentators have said that as well. Looking at Trump, though, can he overcome all of the resistance he's getting, legal and otherwise, and including from his own party, and make it back to the White House?
Well, look, I come from, I mentioned to you, I come from Missouri. It's a center of the country. It's a state that has kind of, two big cities, St. Louis and Kansas City, and then a lot of great rural and farmers and all. And I ran the Republican Party in that state, and I ran for office in that state. And so I have some sense of how campaigns go in America, especially I ran for Congress, and so it was a federal race. All things being normal, this is an election cycle that Donald Trump, the opposition candidate, would almost certainly win. I mean, all the things that are a real drag on a president like Biden, the economy, the wars overseas, the general inability to lead, all things being equal, it's an election that the Republican, any Republican, would win going away. But we're not in a world that's the same, that's the same as the past. And the wild cards in this case are the media and the censorship industrial complex, which is media and big tech, and how they're handling this and how they're managing their assessment of information and misinformation or disinformation. That's a huge factor. And when you the lawfare that's gone against Trump, 91 indictments. And again, I'm a lawyer. It worries me because, your countryman, Shakespeare, when he wrote, first let's kill all the lawyers, people misunderstand what was actually happening in that play was that they knew if they took out the legal system, they could destabilize the culture and they could destabilize the nation. That's actually what was going on. It was not just that we hated lawyers. It was they were trying to get rid of the stabilizing. America, we're in trouble in the sense that the legal system is being used against people like we've never seen before. I'm not saying it. The legal system in America has been perfect forever. It's not ever perfect, but organizationally, as a system, it's been the best we've ever seen. And we took all the best from England and common law, and our Constitution is extraordinary. It's under assault. And what they're doing to Trump, most Americans are offended by it in the sense, a lot of them, but not all of them, right? A 30 or 40% of the country think that there'll be a trial starting this week and it will be a legitimate criminal trial against Trump for some kind of cover-up cover-up of an affair. And they don't know that the whole thing is really created by a Biden official put into that office in New York about a year and a half ago to try to get this ginned up. And that's how all these things are. So we're when you say, can he get to the finish line? I do think he can. But our system now in America, it ends up in six or seven states, none of the ones we've mentioned, you know, not Texas, not Missouri. It's going to be Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, perhaps Georgia. And that's the states because of our electoral system. In those states, he's ahead, almost all of them, Trump is. But it comes down to sort of a hand-to-hand combat or hand-to-hand electioneering, and it's going to be a challenge. Biden is getting literally hundreds of millions of dollars into his campaign now because the system wants to continue to own. You know, if you got a guy that's going to do what you're bidding, you're going to invest to keep going. And Trump is on the outside coming in. So I'd still say it's David versus Goliath, just like it was Trump versus Hillary, because he's taken on the whole world. But I do think that electorally it looks like all the right things are happening. And Trump is running an absolutely masterful campaign. I mean, he really is, even though it doesn't seem like it, maybe to the world, he has toned down some of the way his edges are in a way that is opened him to different groups. Black men look like they're coming towards Trump saying, he's on our side. I got these screaming, harpy, white, liberal women in my life just screaming at me. I'm a black man. And that guy is trying to fight him off. I kind of like that. He doesn't have to win many of them, by the way. He wins 20% of black men. It's a landslide. And so I think more and more people. And then if inflation is still up on election day, I don't know how Trump loses. But I didn't think Trump lost in 2020 either. So I think the system is really in flux there, too.
Well, they'll put you in prison for that now. How dare you challenge, the outcome?
Maybe so.
I've seen a rigged postal vote in the UK. I nearly lost an election that I was running for somebody else once on that occasion. It does happen. Don't go anywhere. We're with Ed Martin. And remember, after the next hour, we've got Harvey Proctor, who is a very big character in British politics, former Conservative Member of Parliament. He hasn't invited controversy, but he's endured it. So this excellent double bill today will continue. Do put your calls and comments in. As much as I've got time, I shall read them out. I'm Len Bitopic. This is today's News Talk TNT. I'll see you in a minute.
JDRF's vision is to create a world without type 1 diabetes. The type 1 diabetes community is at the heart of everything JDRF does. We were founded by the type 1 diabetes community. In the main, we are governed by the type 1 diabetes community, we're energised by the type 1 community, and we're accountable to the type 1 diabetes community. It's on their behalf that we exist, and it's on their behalf that we must succeed. JDRF exists to rid the world of type 1 diabetes. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. So for us, that means rallying all the resources and all the people and all the organisations required to make that a reality as quickly as possible. The world's best researchers, exciting innovative companies, and the passion of the type 1 diabetes community, then delivered through the health system so lives get better every day, day after day, until the day we find a cure. To everybody in the type 1 diabetes community, no matter your age or stage with the disease, whether you were diagnosed recently or a long time ago, we need you to know that we are here working on your behalf to deliver a world without type 1 diabetes as quickly as we can. Thank you to everybody who's supported JDRF in so many ways. You are making our vision of a world without type 1 diabetes possible.
I'm Sandra, this is Jorge, and we were adopted in 2019. I remember when they first came to us, Michael was already a teenager. The whole cliche of, they're so lucky to have you guys, and it's the other way around. They have changed our family for the better. They chose to love us. They didn't have to. They chose us. Family.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org.
You're listening to Len Bitopic on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back. As we race through the day, I'm still with Ed Martin. Remember, after the break, after the top of the hour, if you happen to be in most countries, we'll be talking to Harvey Proctor, former Conservative Member of Parliament, very, very big player in British politics, as is Ed Martin in the United States. He's still with us. A few comments coming in here at tntradio.live. Do keep them coming. Blodders says, all they talk about is Bidenomics. Yeah, I see that. That is true. Bidenomics. Wee Fat Chug, I sincerely believe the overarching objective is to kill as many as possible by any means necessary. All the wars, politics, sports, net zero nonsense are all white noise to blind us from this. Lotta says sounds about right. Shorty says, I have a framed picture of Trump in my office, rolling up his sleeves with the caption, let's finish this, shall we? So there's another positive. Just one more. Hemingway says reports have emerged of Joe Biden showing concern at hearing voices in his head. It was later discovered that he was wearing an earpiece. Very nice. I got a very clued up viewership. Ed Martin, we were talking about Donald Trump and the attempts to lay him and to hold him back. Now, Joe Biden does look like he is really a little bit old. Bit cognitively challenged. He has made fewer gaffes recently, but he always looks like he's about to mess up. What's the view in the United States? Now, I recognize that you're a Republican by instinct, but what would you say the view is? I'll share that when I was in Dallas, people just saw him as a kindly old man, but not somebody who should be running the country.
Yeah. Look, on one level, I always think people that say, oh, you know, he's an idiot. He's this, he's that. Joe Biden succeeded at the very highest level of politics in the very, you know, highest, you know, level that's been maybe in history. Right. I don't know what it was like in Roman times, but it's certainly and he was successful. That means he's got a lot of talent and he's got a lot of ability and he can turn it off and on. I'm told in person he's charming. You know, in other words, you just don't. It's in America, we play baseball a lot. Right. You know, and I tell people all the time, if you go to a baseball game and you see the guy that plays third base for the, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals, and you say, that guy looks like he stinks. He's still the best player you've ever seen in person in your life, right? So Joe Biden is a very talented guy. You can see when he turns it on, and people joke and say when he takes a hit of some, speed and gets his thing up like a State of the Union, he can still hit a speech. He still knows how to play the game at the highest level. He has surrounded him with people that are very, very talented, meaning they know what's going on. They know the game. Now, they're too liberal, and in my mind, they don't know how the system of the world is working now. But the problem, as you point out, is how do people perceive a president? Because he just looks faltering and he looks weak. And so he looks faltering and weak and weakening. And then you have inflation where they're saying Bidenomics, Bidenomics. And then this week, inflation is up again. And so they say, oh, well, stop talking about that. And then they say, you know, we're going to be the ones that get along with the world. Donald Trump is not nice. He's mean. And now we got wars everywhere, right? We got wars. Iran throwing drone wars over the top of Israel with Obama and Biden's money, right? And so, and then the system, look, in America, in the next 2 months, forget about Donald Trump's trial. There will be a senior U.S. Senator, Menendez from New Jersey, who will go on trial for not like saying things that are mean, but receiving gold bricks from people as bribes. That's the trial. And Menendez is one of Joe Biden's best pals. And before Menendez became the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee, which is where you get the gold bricks, because there's a lot of people in the world that want you to make sure you keep funding the forever wars and the forever transfers of money, the gold bricks. Joe Biden was the chairman for a decade. And so the point is, the system that he comes out of is very broken. And that American people are looking up and they're going, huh, not only is weak and not only is he weakening and doesn't seem to be there, but all the things that we want to get better are going in the wrong direction. The border is open and people are saying, huh, the border's open. I see crime in our cities. And this guy says he can't do anything about it. You know, that's his answer. His answer is, I can't do anything about it. Give me some more power. Well, the American people don't recognize that as strength, right? And so on everyone, electric cars, there's a guy in the White House named John Podesta who has literally literally hundreds of billions of dollars that they are now announcing that they're giving away to pro-environmentalist groups to fund their efforts to highlight. It's just a transfer of my tax dollars to left-wing groups, but it's done right in your face. So the inflation is up, the cost of bacon and milk and eggs is up, and yet we're going to transfer wealth to these groups that are being created to just transfer money to fund things. So again, it's so corrupt. I think the people are looking up and saying Biden can't be in charge, but we're living in a nation where we're divided, especially by the media and social media. And so, you know, you're still going to have to fight through whatever the coming storm will be. Remember, in 2020, the storm was COVID, which hit right about now, maybe 3 weeks ago in America, 4 years ago, you know, March of 2020. And then the whole world was turned upside down by what we now know was a series of lies and a series of trust the science requests and demands that turned out to be either false and maliciously so, or just false because they guessed wrong.
So we've got I think a good cross section of policy positions there. Something else I've noticed though, Trump supporters are very enthusiastic. They're emotive, such as you are.
Yeah.
Joe Biden supporters go, yeah, well, we need a Democratic president. We didn't, and then they go, but we, whatever happens, we don't need Trump. So with Trump, it's a positive vote for him. With Biden, it's a positive vote against Trump. That's the argument they use, it seems to me. And that's a rather weak position.
Well, it is. But you know politics, and I assume it's very similar. The party in power, the running against the incumbent has the advantages of money and access and attention, but the opponents often have the energy, right? And this in America, this is especially true. The party that's out is like the Republicans are, has all the energy, and to be sort of glib about it, the party in power is fat, dumb, and happy. They have all the things they want, and they're less energetic. The problem is, on the other side, what the two things that Biden does is transfer wealth to pay for it. So you have millions of Americans that don't work a real job but are involved in green energy stuff, and their political army for Trump, for Biden. Trump doesn't have that. Conservatives don't do that as much. The second thing, though, that I'll tell you is very important is Joe Biden, more than anyone in our history, he tries to bring fear into it. He lies about what's going on in order to scare people. And fear is the greatest motivator. And so it works, but it's nasty to do. And so he's trying to scare older citizens about what could happen. He's trying to scare young people about what he's trying to scare women that people are coming for their healthcare rights. And he's using fear. It's exhausting, and it's very nasty. It's really a mean thing to do, but Biden is doing it because he's desperate. And the problem is it works a lot, right? It works a lot. And so you have to worry about that, and you worry what's next. Remember COVID, a lot of what happened with COVID was the fear that was instilled in people. This could be coming, this could happen. And so, what worries me most is that, first of all, it's very destructive to living together, to have this kind of fear thing. And second, the way Biden is doing it and his side is doing it is really one of the worst things I've ever seen. They talk about Donald Trump, and you and I could spend another hour together. They talk about Donald Trump as a Hitler character. I looked at Donald Trump as a conservative. I'm a conservative. He wasn't even a conservative president. He was a good president. He kept us out of wars. But he wasn't conservative on lots of stuff I cared about. He was a president. They call him Hitler so that people will be afraid, and the media and social media works with them on this, and it's a really nasty thing. We've never seen anything like it, and it's something you have to be worried about. But that's what he's doing. That's what Biden is doing.
Hemingway, who's turning into my primary researcher for the purposes of my conversation with you, has given me another quote. I would quote Biden more, but most of it is just gaffes. With Trump, at least, if people understand it, he's like Friedrich Nietzsche, the philosopher. He wrote a book called Ecce Homo. First chapter, why I am so good. Second chapter, something like why I am so clever. Third chapter, why I write such excellent books. And people slammed him because they didn't realize he was being ironic. So anyway, Hemingway goes out in the campaign trail. Donald Trump has promised to carry on his superior presidenting when re-elected in November. Sometimes it can be difficult being so awesome, tremendously awesome, but I love this country so much that I have no choice. I love it.
Yeah.
And if you understand that he's basically the kind of bloke you would like to go down to the McDonald's and have a burger. He doesn't drink alcohol. And and you could actually get on with him. And kindly, Blodders says, I've been unnecessarily generous about Biden. Kindy old man, come on. He can barely walk. It's embarrassing. Holly says that. Sorry. It's Holly and Blodders say that. Other people agree with this. He should be in an old folks' home with a spot of midazolam, whatever that is. That's Holly again. A certain amount of criticism going on here. You mentioned something. We have to grasp this nettle. Iran, Israel, massive destabilization, massive escalation as well. Now, I've worked with Iranians, and they love their children too. They generally want a peaceful life, and I thought we were quite close to a settlement with them at one point. But what you say that Trump would have perhaps prevented the attack in the first place. But what would he have done if Trump had been president? Would we be in a better state in the Middle East now than we are?
Well, I think I'm mature enough to say you can't know for sure, right? And we shouldn't be too silly. And I'm not just here for Trump, but the dynamic in the Middle East that he did was that he did things for Israel, our longtime ally, that they wanted, and then at various times things that they wouldn't have wanted. So, you know, and the same thing with Saudi Arabia, and same thing with Qatar, and the same thing with even Putin and Kim Jong-un. I mean, his idea is give people that have the power they have enough respect in a certain sense that they'll play along. What is it Iran wants? I mean, look, I would say the Iranian the Ayatollah and his senior team probably should be thinking to themselves that this is the end of their lives, because I don't think you can do this and get away with it. And I don't think they want that. I think that, as you point out, most people want some future. So what I think Trump did was create space. Remember when he got in and they all said he's got to go after the Saudis for Khashoggi, and he's got to make them a pariah. And he basically sort of said, I'm going to give you a pass on this, not because I don't think you did it, but because we want to do other things. And the Saudis then went and did a deal with Israel. And by the way, Biden, who said it was the worst thing ever, got in office, and he gave the Saudis a pass, right, on Khashoggi. So my point here is not to, I'm not sure what Trump would have done, but I think they would have seen an America that was stronger and more inclined to let everybody thrive, find your space. And if you're not Kim Jong-un, we're not going to mess with you if you stop doing this, but don't do this. Don't shoot these nukes off. And I think with Iran, it would have been something similar. So, but we'll never know. And, all you can do in America is you could say Obama was sending in pallets full of money with Biden as VP to the Iranians. Biden gets in as president and freezes billions and billions of dollars for the Iranian leadership to be able to use to do the things they do. You don't have to be a Sherlock Holmes to see what the impact of the conduct was. And I think Trump would have never done that. Or if he had done it, he would have done it in a way that assured that you got the outcome you wanted, or, you know, the deal you got. So Americans, I think, just don't know what to make of Biden in terms of safety. Look, even yesterday, as Israel's getting hit by an attack from Iran, we get a report that Joe Biden is coming back from the beach. He goes to the beach every weekend, and he's at the beach, and they say he's coming back and he's going to address the nation, which should be somewhat standard for America. And then we hear that he pre-recorded his address to America. So, and then we hear that he's not going to give the address to America. And that kind of fecklessness, even amongst the media that is generally supportive of Trump, of Biden, is like, what is going on with this guy? So, and again, the world is watching, saying that doesn't look like a guy that's in the Situation Room about to drop a, because my sons, who are 16, 17, and 15, my two sons said, well, what could we do if we wanted to get rid of Iran? We, America, Iran. I said, you could put a bomb in wherever they are. We know that. We know how we could kill all those people. We know that. And we're not doing it because we're trying to figure out what to do that's better for the world. But, you know, nobody thinks Biden is on top of it when they see that kind of conduct. And they worry in America as well as in the world what the next move will be with such uncertainty.
I would love to come to the Hill, subject to permission from my management, and do a few interviews. And I would give Democrats to space as well, because I'm sure that our global viewership would be interested. If you're up for that, I'll shall make that proposal.
Yeah, that'd be great. It would be great to have you. I'd love to show you around, and I'm not sure I want to connect you to too many Democrats, but that's you can do that yourself. That's on you. Everybody's got to slum a little bit when they come to America. I don't, you know, whether I'll just leave that to you.
Yeah, that's a deal. As long as you don't hold it against me when I'm there. Thank you so much, Ed Martin. It's a fascinating hour that we've had together. It's gone so fast. Let's get you on again in a few weeks' time, assuming we are here in a few weeks' time. Let's hope this thing doesn't escalate out of control. And I look forward to seeing you somewhere near Capitol Hill. That is great. Ed Martin from across the pond. I hope you agree. Fascinating guest. Do put your views in. I'll read them out before we get to our next guest, who is Harvey Proctor, a very significant character in British politics. He's attracted his fair share of controversy, but not on purpose on the whole. Let's find out what he has to say about the British political system and some very specific subjects. All of that with me, Lembitopic, here on today's News Talk TNT. I'll see you in a few minutes.